Hear me? Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm going to begin my message this morning by just asking a few questions. Three in particular. I've entitled my message this morning, Are You Rich? Are you rich? I don't mean, are you a millionaire or a billionaire? But as far as the world is concerned, are you rich? And here's some questions that I have for you. When you went to bed last night, what did you sleep on? Obviously, most of you would have slept on a bed and you would have been very comfortable. The second question is, when you get up this morning, was there running water for a shower? And thirdly, when you get up this morning, did you have breakfast? And my guess is you're planning on having lunch, and eventually this evening you're going to have supper. If the answer to all these questions is yes, then you are rich as far as the world's standards are concerned. Here are some statistics on world poverty. The larger portion of the population of the world, this is a description of them. 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. 22,000 children die each day either of starvation or lack or of ill health. Quarter of humanity lives without electricity. Why would I share these statistics? Why are they important? It's certainly not to make you feel guilty. We live in a very privileged part of the world where we have so many things. But I want to establish this morning, in relation to the story that we're going to look at in the Word of God, that you are rich. We're going to read a portion in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 17 through 27 in a moment. But I want to established this morning that even as this young man was called the rich young ruler, we are rich in our day and age, as he was in his day. I want to speak this morning about three things that will have to happen in your life in order for you to have eternal life. That means the life of God. God's desire for you this morning is to have or possess eternal life. And we're going to talk about three things in order for that to happen. The first thing is there needs to be a decision made in your life. Maybe you've often heard this in gospel preaching. Your decision will ultimately determine your destination. You are on a path this morning, either a path towards heaven or a path of destruction. Secondly, there needs to be a change in your life. And we'll talk about that in a biblical sense, or what the Bible talks about as that change. And thirdly, your mission in life, maybe you've never written it down, but your mission in life will change when you become a child of God. Let's turn in our Bibles if you don't have that. But before we do that, I want to just share some lyrics from a woman that sang a lot of songs in history. And her name was Madonna. Maybe you heard that name. One of the lyrics of her songs was this: "'Cause we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Some boys would save their pennies, and that would make my rainy day. A material world. We are living in a material world." And that is so true. She, even though this lady was not a Christian, she spoke truth. She was living in a material world, and she would owe up to the fact that she was a material girl, meaning that the things that she possessed were very important to her. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read it in the Bible. The Lord Jesus often spoke in parables, which were stories that related a spiritual truth or he spoke of encounters with individuals. This morning we're going to talk about actually a particular encounter with this man, and he's tagged in the Bible as the rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read just 10 verses. If you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully as we read these verses. And when he was gone forth into the way, that is the Lord Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Or basically, I've done all these things. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me." And he was sad, that means this rich young ruler was sad, and he said, saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Four things we notice about this young man. You see, the reality is, he did a lot of things right in his approach to this idea of eternal life or possessing eternal life. And maybe you've never this morning thought about eternal life, the life after death. I want to tell you this morning from the Word of God, there is only one person who can grant you eternal life. That is life that has value, life that will last forever, forever. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The first thing we notice about this rich young ruler was he approached the right person. It was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only son. The second thing was he came at the right time. The Lord Jesus had just spoken to a bunch of children and he was on his way. He was departing. And this rich young ruler came and approached the Lord Jesus running. And he caught up and he took advantage of an opportunity to speak to this one called the Lord Jesus. He came with the right attitude. We notice in our story that he kneeled down. He had a respect for this one called Jesus. He kneeled at his feet and called him good master or good teacher. So he had great respect for the Lord Jesus. He must have heard about him. It's been thought that this rich young ruler was a ruler of a synagogue. He had, in typically in those days, someone that ruled a synagogue was an older person. So he had achieved great strides in his life. He was potentially the ruler of a synagogue. And yet, there was something lacking in his life. And I want to ask you this morning, with all that you have, with all your possessions, with all that your life entails at this very moment, my guess is that there's something lacking. You've tuned in this morning, and there's something lacking. There's something that you need. This young man wanted eternal life. He had heard about it. And so he even asked the right question pertaining to eternal life. The problem was he thought that he could do something to inherit eternal life. You see, when you approach the Lord Jesus Christ, God requires something from you. This rich young man, the Lord Jesus' response to him could have been saying, "Just believe in me and I'll grant you eternal life." But there was a problem. There was an underlying problem with this young man that had to be addressed before he could ever have eternal life. In this particular case, it was the things in which he possessed. We live in a material world. If you're interested in eternal life this morning, to have, possess eternal life, then there's something that is in the way if you do not have it. If you are interested in having your sins forgiven, you need to come solely to the one who can grant you this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He called the Lord Jesus good master. Good master. He recognized him as someone that was good. The problem with that was he thought himself as good. He had the wrong concept of what good was. You see, there's only one person who is 100% good, and it's God. And that's what the Lord Jesus shared with him. He put himself on the same level as the Lord Jesus by calling him good master. He came at the right time. This young man came running. He wanted eternal life. Let me ask you this morning, why did you tune in? Why are you listening to this broadcast on Zoom from the Charlottetown Bible Chapel? Is it because there's something missing in your life? Is it because it makes you feel less guilty for the things in your life that maybe you're not so proud of? Why did you tune in? Maybe it's because there's something missing and you desire what the Lord Jesus has to offer, not what I have to offer, but what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer, and that is eternal life to all those that come to him. You see, God isn't in the business of negotiating a deal with you this morning. If you come to him, you must come his way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me." You may have tuned in this morning, and you may tune out after this meeting and not get a hold of eternal life. You'd say, "Why would you say that? There's opportunity to get eternal life here this morning." But even though you've come to hear, maybe you're not willing to come on the terms and conditions that God presents in his word. Eternal life or eternal damnation. There's only two roads. If you desire this morning to obtain eternal life, then learn from this story. This rich young ruler thought he could get it by doing something. And the Lord Jesus challenged him with the law, the commandments of God, and showed him the error of his way. He came at the right time. I want to tell you this morning, you've come at the right time. Behold, in the Word of God it says, "Behold, now is a day of salvation." Now is a day of salvation. Even though this man possessed many things, there was something missing. I want to ask you this morning, with all that you have, all the possessions, you are rich. Don't forget that. You are rich. I'm not talking about a billionaire or a millionaire, but you have running water. You have a bed to sleep on. You have food to eat. You are rich. And yet, without eternal life, your end is destruction. You can possess the life of God this morning before we are done here. And I want to be very clear this morning. It's not the life that I can give you. It's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 10 through 12 says, there is no good, there's no one good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is none righteous, no, not one. Remember that this morning, if you remember nothing else, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life is a record. First, you have to recognize that there's nothing that you can bring him. All your possessions may be in the way of receiving eternal life. This rich young ruler possessed lots. It says he was rich. And he walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ that morning, saddened, yet having not obtained eternal life. He asked the right question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked the question, but he asked it in the wrong way. He had a misunderstanding of what this eternal life and how to get it, because he thought he could do something. He said he kept the law from his youth up. I've kept all the commandments. I'm a pretty good person. But he had something in the way. Can I tell you this morning that it's called sin? Anything that keeps you from coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me repeat myself. Anything that gets in the way of you obtaining eternal life is sin. Sin is simply this, falling short of God's perfect standard. Remember, he called him a good teacher. And that he was. But he was God in the flesh. He was perfect. He approached the one who never sinned. Do you understand that this morning? If you want God's salvation, if you want eternal life, if you want to be sure of heaven, then you need to understand this. You are a sinner. You have fallen short of God's holy, perfect standard. That's perfection. And God used the law to make him aware of his shortcomings. And even though this rich young ruler fell short, as he went away saddened, he realized to some degree that he did not have eternal life. He realized that the things that he possessed were keeping him from eternal life, and yet he turned away. Is that you this morning? The things that you possess, maybe it's the simple thing, the fact that maybe you've moved from a foreign country and you've come here and there's great opportunity, all the opportunity that maybe you never had before, and yet you don't have anything, because this life only incorporates time. And there is an eternity out there. Where will you spend eternity? What do you possess? Car, home, vacation funds? Maybe you have the ability with the money you have to seek great pleasures. Let me ask you this morning, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know your knowledge of the Word of God. How desperate are you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How desperate are you? Are you willing to forsake all and follow Him? You see, even though this rich young ruler was saddened, he was not willing to give up. Here's where we talk about a change. In the Bible, it's called repent. There was one who, before the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, John the Baptist, and he preached this, repentance. And it simply means to change your mind about who God is and who you are. It's to change your mind about the things that you do and how they fall short of God's perfect standard. It's to change your mind about who you are. Remember, this rich young man equated himself with God. He thought he was good, and he went to a so-called good master. And yet he was approaching the perfect God-man. What did God require of this man? He required him to forsake all. Let me tell you this morning, in the comfort of your home, in the comfort of your life, in all the things in which you possess, are you willing this morning to forsake everything to pursue eternal life? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up everything so that you might have Christ? Let me explain to you this morning, if you are willing to do those things, then I want to explain to you this morning the gospel. Because you've come to the right place. You've come and are approaching the right person. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was great provision made for you to obtain eternal life. And it wasn't through anything you've done. This perfect one, understanding that you have fallen short of his standard, made a way so that you could have eternal life. And it was through his death at a place called Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, was sent to planet Earth for the purpose of obtaining eternal life for you. He was obedient to his Father, and he came with you in mind. He came to seek and to save the lost. This rich young ruler was lost. He had everything, and then yet he had nothing, because he was only preparing for time and not eternity. Let me ask you this morning, with all the things that you possess, will it give you eternal life? Will it secure you in heaven? Will it give you a peace that passes all understanding? The answer is no, it will not. It says that this man went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What a sad commentary on a young man that was so close to salvation and walked away from it. You see, there's a great pitfall with having things. In our passage, it says, if we were to read through it again, it says, in verse 22, and he was sad, that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. You see, you're born into this world with a death sentence. Adam and Eve sinned. They fell short of what God's standard was. And throughout history, all humanity has fallen short of God's perfect standard. And they've started to trust in the things in which they possess. You will never receive eternal life unless you are prepared to give up everything. Are you so preoccupied with the things that have no eternal value that you cannot see beyond them to where you're heading? I started this morning with saying that you have to make a decision. The decision is this: what will I do with this one called Jesus? The only one that can keep me from going to hell. The only provision provided in the history of mankind that will secure eternal life for me. You see, the salvation that we're preaching about is in a person. It's not in a religion. It's not in anything else. It's in a person. And I want to present to you this morning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the one who created you, the one who gives you breath. I want to present to you him as the only way to heaven. The change we're talking about is having a different look on this idea of sin. It's basically putting yourself in a position and realizing that God is holy and you are not. And God's standard needs perfect holiness in order for you to be in his presence. And the problem that we have is our sin. And what clouds our judgment is the things around us. What clouds your judgment this morning? What hinders you from eternal life? What will it be for you this morning? Will you go through life successful? You have every opportunity to do that. If you push hard, you can get mortgage free. If you push hard and work hard, you can have all the toys and all the material possessions that this world has to offer. You can live a life of leisure. It is in you to do all these things. But you will die in your sins. And you will end up in hell. Please listen. September 10th, 1988. I lay hold of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I obtained eternal life. It was nothing I did. I became desperate. And you know, when you become desperate and you are willing to forsake all, that's when salvation can happen for you. It's an experience. It happens in a moment of time when you repent, change your mind about who God is and who you are. Change your mind about how the fact is that you have fallen short of what God requires from you. God is not going to negotiate. It's his son or nothing. It's repentance and faith in him that will obtain eternal life for you. Give up everything in order for you to have eternal life. That is salvation. Repentance and faith. Faith is simply believing all that we say about the Lord Jesus Christ, all that the Word of God says. That's the way of salvation. That's the way to heaven. That's the way of eternal life. I challenge you this morning. Where do you stand before a holy, righteous God? Think about it. If you were to die with the sins on your account, the sins that you've committed on your account, you will be judged in eternity in a place called hell. It was never God's desire. It was never God's plan. His desire is that you might come to him. God's salvation is free. God's salvation is available. You need God's salvation. If you leave planet Earth, whatever that may be for you at the age of 50, 60, 70, there's three young boys that went out on their father's little boat up in Tignish just recently. You've heard it in the news. Only one of them is alive. Two have perished. You don't know your time. You don't know when God will require your life, will take your life. Where do you stand before God? Are you born again? Do you have that eternal life? Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He died for my sins so that I might have life. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else will matter. I challenge you this morning. Find out. Search the scriptures. See if what I'm saying is true. Don't take my word for it. I want to end by the verse that I was saved by. And it's the gospel in essence. It says, for God so loved the world of humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means God's son in heaven came to planet Earth. God gave him to planet Earth to do a mission. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to that place called hell, should not be separated from the eternal God of heaven who made you, who gives you your every breath, should not perish, but have eternal life. If you leave planet Earth without eternal life, you will suffer the judgment of God. Do you know him? The Bible says to know him is to know life eternal. You can possess, not your possessions, because your possessions, although you might possess them now, they have no value. They have no eternal value. What are you holding on to this morning? What hinders you from coming to know the Savior of your soul? What hinders you from the opportunity that you have this morning to be saved, to have your sins taken care of, to be forgiven, and to know for sure of this eternal life? It's God's life. It's life everlasting. I challenge you this morning, put your faith in the one who is worthy of putting your faith in, the eternal Son of God, the one who went to that place and hung on a cross. And he said, the words that he said was, Father, forgive them. He was speaking of you. He was speaking of me. All the sins we committed, he says, Father, forgive them. And his final words at that place called Calvary was, it is finished. He completed the work to save you from your sins and to secure heaven for you. And God was pleased with that sacrifice of his son, that he raised him again. The one we speak of this morning, the one in which you need to put your faith and trust in, is a living Savior. And he's in heaven today, and his desire for you is to come to him. Forget about everything else. How desperate are you? How desperate are you to get a hold of this eternal life? I can do only so much. I can try to convince you. I can speak loudly. I can pray with you. I can do all these things, but only God, through his Holy Spirit, can convict you of your sin. Think about it. Heaven on one side, eternal Eternal life with God on one side, eternal damnation on the other side. A decision, a change, and a new mission. If the change happens and you put your faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your mission will change. Your whole life will change. You will have a different outlook on life. You'll want to please the one who gave himself for you, who died at that place called Calvary. You'll become a new creation. Don't pass up this opportunity. Don't lay your head on the pillow tonight and not possess eternal life. It can be yours. It can be yours. This young man in our story, a real encounter with a young man who desired to have eternal life, thought he could do it on his own. When he was corrected, he still walked away from the Savior. Will you this morning walk towards the Savior in repentance, in a change of mind, or will you walk away? Trust him. He is trustworthy. He loves you. He gave his life for you. This salvation we speak of is absolutely real. It's not mystical. It's not something we've dreamt up. It changes lives. The love of God changes lives. You can be this morning a possessor of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it without turning and changing your mind. You have to come on God's terms. Will you do that this morning? Will you repent of your sin? Don't turn your back. Don't neglect this great salvation. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee this morning for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that this one we call our Savior loves us. And his desire is that every one this morning that is tuned in would have an understanding of this great news, the gospel, the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, Father, if they would recognize this morning how short they fall, how short we have fallen. And yet, in spite of all our sin, the Lord Jesus came and he was punished and he took our place so that we could have eternal life. We would never have to be separated from God. We would never have to suffer the judgment of God. Oh, may they understand this morning. Anyone that has tuned in, young person, old person, maybe this is totally new to some. I pray this morning that you will work in hearts, and that you will save individuals. Grant them eternal life through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen.